y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. We are continuing on with our Sunday School Stories theme for the entire year of 2023. And if this is your first time tuning in, hey girl, welcome. If you are returning, hey girl, welcome back. I'm excited for y'all to hear about this week's episode. So with these Sunday School Stories, we are taking the famous Sunday School Stories that you may have heard if you grew up in church, and we're bringing them to life in a new, relatable way. Not that the Bible needs to have anything added to it, but some of us, we have this thought, we have this perspective that, oh, it was just the Bible times. It was just for them. I want to let you know that the Bible is alive and applicable to your life today. There's so many people who have been in these type of situations that we read in scripture, so that it's not just David and Goliath. It's about fighting the battles in our life, so that it's not about Hannah and Samuel, but it's about overcoming infertility and having your womb healed. Those are the stories. Those are the messages that we are hearing every single week here on the episode. And this week is no different. Y'all, I'm so excited for this week's episode. And I feel like I say that every week. I'm so excited. But y'all, I really am. I'm excited. So for this week, we have guest speaker, Miss Brenda Palmer. Y'all, she's amazing. She's a woman of God. She's in her word, such a bold, passionate communicator of the word of God. And y'all will be able to hear her heart behind scripture as we go through the episode. She is the host of a podcast titled Life and Perspective. And she's also the co-host of a podcast, In the Room. She is based in California. So if y'all are in Cali, pull up. She has some events that she'll let y'all know about. But she just has a heart for the word of God, for ministry, for bringing people into the knowledge of who Jesus is and to be in true relationship with him. So I'm excited for her to be on this episode. Brenda, welcome.
Hey, girl. Hey, I'm super excited to be here. One of my favorite things is to talk about the word. So I get to do that with you today and all of you guys listening. I'm super duper excited. I don't have nothing to introduce myself, but you did good. You did really good. I'm originally from Chicago. Always got to rep Chicago. I love Chicago, but I live in Cali. I'm a Cali girl now, but yeah. Born and raised in Chicago.
I love that. So I'm excited for you to just really just share as we go through this story. This week, we are talking about the story, a very popular Sunday school story, Abraham and Isaac. And we're going to be talking about sacrifice. And I don't pause it. Don't turn it off. You heard sacrifice. I didn't cuss. I said sacrifice. I know it doesn't feel good to your flesh. I know. But we're going to talk about how it's worth it and how we've seen God show up in our lives through that story. So if you have your Bibles, you got your iBibles, whatever it is, turn to Genesis chapter 22. That's where we're going to be. And I'm going to go ahead and read majority of the chapter because it's so good. There's so much good stuff in there. And I don't want y'all to miss any of it. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 22. I'm reading out of the ESV version. And verse 1 says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. Y'all, I'm trying not to stop. It's so good. I'm going to keep reading. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Y'all, there's probably about 20 sermons in this chapter, and it's so good. Like, oh man, especially when you've lived through some sacrifice, it hits different when you see this verse. So we're not going to do full deep Bible study, but I did want to hit on a couple points. So going back to verse one, the fact that the Lord called to Abraham and boom, right away, he said, here I am. This shows that Abraham has been walking with God. He already knew his voice. Like, he wasn't like, who's that? He didn't have a whole 30 minutes of going back and forth trying to figure out, was that the tree? Was that the leaves? He knew it was God. By this point, y'all, Abraham has walked through some stuff with God. If we go back to Genesis 12, we can see God had already called, he was Abram at the time before his name got changed. He had already called him away from everything he knew. He called him out of his country and told him, I'll send you to a land that I will show you, which ended up being the land of Canaan. But he's already been on this walk with God. He's been living this thing out by faith. And so by this point, he's like, all right, God's calling me again. Let me obey. And he was so obedient with that. And the Lord's giving him a difficult instruction. Abraham has one son. And if you don't know the story of Isaac, it took a long time for Isaac to get here. Isaac was his son of old age. And that's a whole different story. But Isaac means so much to him. And God asked him to give up that one thing that Abraham loved so much. And that's his son, Isaac. But we see that Abraham was so obedient. And we can see that Abraham had faith. He said, okay, God's calling me to sacrifice my son. But like, he even had faith that somehow we're both coming back down this mountain. He's like, I don't know if he's going to resurrect him, if I have to kill him. Like, he trusted in God so much that he was like, okay, whatever means necessary. Because if you look at verse 5, he says, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. So he said, we're coming back. Just give us a little time. We're coming back. And so even in verse 8, he talks about how God will provide. He knew God was going to provide a sacrifice. And that's real deep. I ain't trying to get too deep, but that's real deep because that's foreshadowing to Jesus being the lamb, the full sacrifice. Y'all got to read this chapter. You have to study it out. But as to just continue to summarize this verse, this passage of scripture, the Lord did provide. He provided a ram right when Abraham was getting ready to kill Isaac. And so this was God, you know, seeing where Abraham's faith was. And he said, okay, I see you. I know that you are obedient to what I'm asking of you. And because of that, now I will bless you. And he made covenant with Abraham. And it was because of his sacrifice. So y'all, sacrifice changes things. It doesn't feel easy. Abraham had a hard instruction, but he was obedient and God showed up. So now I want to turn things over to you, Brenda. So you chose this story to talk about on the episode. How can you relate to this story? Like, what verses stick out to you?
Oh, good Lord. You know, all of the verses stick out to me. I feel like I chose this story because I identify with Abraham's life so much. I feel like if God is telling me to do something, like I moved from Chicago across the country to California. He's like, I didn't have a plan. I didn't have anything set up. And if you move to LA, if you ever been to LA, if you haven't, I'm going to tell you, it ain't just a place you just moved to without a plan, because it's extremely expensive. And it was just like a faith move. And then I feel like I got to LA. My background is in like production. I'm a creative. I've worked in like television and the digital space. And then God's like, hey, I need you to put that down for a minute and we're going to do ministry. And actually my first job in production, like salary job, because that's a real job that got benefits, was on a Christian talk show. Now, my dream was to always be a producer on a talk show. I should have been a little more specific because he sent me right on over to TBN. And I'm all like, okay, Lord. And it's really because it was connected to a plan where I had to lay down what I felt like were my dreams to say, okay, God, like, I'm going to follow you. And so now I work in full-time ministry. And so I feel like my life has been this consistent, like, okay, I'm going to give you what I promised to you, but also could you give it back? Do you trust me enough? Do you love me enough to say, actually, God, I know you promised me this. I know you gave me this thing, but you can have it back. And I think that this story is a picture of just that. Like, Isaac wasn't just Abraham's only son. He was God's promise to him.
Yeah.
He represents something that God said before the beginning of time. Like, Isaac was in the, Jesus comes through the bloodline of Isaac. And so this thing that Abraham is like, all right, I'm actually going to kill it, is the very thing that God promised you. And so I think you said something earlier. You said when God calls Abraham, he recognizes his voice. What I think that highlights is that Abraham had such an intimate relationship with God that he knew that, hey, if you're asking me to kill the very thing you promised me, I know you're going to turn it around. I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you enough to know that what you said has to come to pass. Even though you're asking me to do the thing that feels like the opposite of what you've asked me to do. And so I think that while this story is really, it's about sacrifice, I think there's also like threads of trust, right? This is highlighting trust. Like, God calls Abraham, he responds right away, but then God gives Abraham an instruction and we don't see Abraham trying to rationalize it. We don't see Abraham asking questions. We don't even see Abraham take a moment. God comes to him, he responds, he wakes up the next day and he's right on it. And it reminds me of a scripture in Romans. I'm not going to remember. Read the whole Bible, you'll find it. But it says, like, basically, like, we should recognize what God wants us to do and readily obey. And I think that the how fast you respond to God, it reveals the posture of your heart, right? Because the moment I start trying to bargain with God, that kind of means that this thing he's asking me to give up is holding a little more weight in my life than he is. So when God asks me to do something, I just do it because this life is really about me and him. And so I really think that this is really, like, I love that, you know, like in the Bible, it gives the titles. And then one version, it says, Abraham's faith is tested. In another version, it says Abraham's faith is confirmed because it was really, this isn't really about whether or not he'll give up Isaac. God's just trying to check his heart posture. And he wants to know that, I know I finally gave you the thing I promised you, but now I need to see if you love it more than me.
Yes.
And I think that's what our lives are about. It's not that God is trying to withhold anything from us, especially not something he promised us. He just wants to make sure that you stay in alignment with the fact that this is really a thing about you and him. And that nothing he gives you will ever override the weight that he holds in your life. And so I love that Abraham doesn't ask questions, because I'm a question asker sometimes. Sometimes I need to know things. It's not that I don't want to give it up, but I want to be like, hey, God, why? And are you going to give this back? And are you sure? You know, I live in Marietta, California right now. It's the middle of nowhere. It's called the Inland Empire. It ain't no water, you know, 50 miles from where I live. I was living in LA. The beach was like 15 minutes away. And I came to California to work in production. And God says, move to the middle of nowhere. That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me at all. I didn't understand it. But God said, go. So then that means that's what I'm going to do, you know? And so I asked questions and I had an attitude for about a month. But I'm working on it. I am developing my relationship.
It's a process.
It's a process. You know, we can't all be like Abraham and be like, ah. Okay, I got questions.
Yeah.
So, and the other verse that stands out to me is I just lost it. Oh, where he says, like, we're gonna come back. I think that's like, that's the ultimate flex. Is like, you know God so much, because nobody else aware of this instruction that you have. And that's a side note, right? Because some things that God tell you to do, you cannot share it, you can't weigh it with the opinions of man. Because if he would have told anybody that God said sacrifice Isaac, everybody would have said, hey, you crazy, and we're not going with you. And so there is some of those instructions that God gives you that you can only hold in your heart and take the steps. And then he left them at the bottom of the mountain because he recognized that everybody can't go. There's some things that God is calling me to do that everybody can't go. They're not going to understand it. I remember like one of my mentors told me, I'm like telling him like, hey, I think God's saying I need to move to Marietta, California. He said, here's the thing about a call from God. It's not a conference call.
Yep.
It's not on speakerphone. Nope. We didn't all get invited. A call from God is a call from God to you. And some people, nobody's walked your life the way that you walked it. Nobody knows your prayers. Nobody knows the makeup of who God created you to be other than God. You don't even know. And sometimes you got to remove yourself from the conversation and just go, all right, this is actually not even a conversation. This is just an instruction. It's a download. You know what I'm saying? And so I love that he was able to say, hey, we're going to go up and worship, but we'll be back. We will be back. He didn't say I was coming back. Yeah. He's very clear in what he's saying because that goes back to his relationship. He knows who God is. And so he's willing to say, even if I kill him, you're going to bring him back to life. And I know we coming back down this mountain. And I think like that is the type of faith that we have to have. It's like, it's the definition of faith is the substance of things we hope for and the evidence of things not seen. Yes. He's like, I don't know. I can't see what you're going to do right now. But my faith knows that I know the God that you are. And I know that if you are a God who can make Isaac appear in Sarah's womb, you know what I'm saying? Surely this is nothing for you. Surely this is nothing for you.
I love that. I love all of that. And that level of faith, I feel like I need to let people know it does not come overnight, right? Nope. Abraham has had history. With God.
Absolutely.
That's what develops that faith. I feel like I don't like saying levels in the world of Christianity because it's not a video game with levels that you're unlocking. But there is things to where your faith will increase through various tests that you put through.
Yeah.
And the next thing is a little bit bigger. The next thing is a little bit bigger. I'll use myself for an example. When God told me to start Bible studies back in 2015 on my college campus, that was a big thing for me then. And I was like, okay, like I said no. I'm gonna just be honest with y'all. I said no, and he said yes. So we said, but my initial response was absolutely not, which makes no sense because I was raised in church. I'm a pastor's kid, preacher's kid, all that. So it was like, you should know that this was coming. But I'm like, no, it's not. Anyways, that was my level of faith then. Fast forward 7 years and I leave my entire career. That's a different level of faith. But the reason I was able to make that decision in this year to leave my career, dream jobs, living my best life, making bank, I'm just put that out there.
Because don't you feel like ministry costs you money? A job, I make money. Ministry costs me money. I'm just trying to figure it out, Lord. I know you got me in heaven, but right here on earth, it feels like ministry costs me, all right?
Yeah, I'm like, I know I got crowns in heaven. I'm aware.
You know? I understand.
No, the Lord is faithful.
Yes,
Lord is faithful. Yes, he is. But for me to get to that point, there has been so much that God has asked for me little by little. Start a podcast, launch online, start this, start that, host retreats. Like these are things that God gradually did in my life. And each time I said yes to God, no matter how I felt, no matter how I felt, was feeling in that time, no matter how much it was going to cost me, the more I said yes, the more I realized, man, God really got me. Like my confidence in him grew so much because of that. So that I was able to look up and say, okay, because I've seen you do it. If he did it before,
come on.
He will do it again. And I look back and because of the history I have, I'm able to say, okay, I know that I can trust him with the next thing. And that's exactly what Abraham did. This is a huge sacrifice. But by then he's seen the miracle of his son being born to a very old couple. He's seen the miracle of how God took him out of his foreign country, brought him into a land that he would show him along the way. He saw how God was so faithful. And now he said, okay, my son. All right. I guess that's what it is. All right. My son. And so I just want to encourage y'all. This does not mean that he's going to ask for the biggest thing tomorrow. He may, but it doesn't mean that. But it means that he wants your yes. And you talked about the quickness of it. Someone told me years ago, partial disobedience or slow disobedience, delayed. Oh, sorry. I said it wrong. I missed it. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Mm-hmm. Like when you're trying to second guess and slow it down and rationalize, you're missing him. You're missing mm-hmm. it. Just go for it. Go for it. I know it's going to cost you. I know people don't get it. Like Brenda said, everybody won't. There's so much mm-hmm. in my life that people look at me sideways about to this day. They're like, you did what for Jesus? You did what? Like I literally just a couple weeks ago, one of my old nursing jobs, they contacted my friend, was like, hey, we still got a job for you. I'm like, y'all, I left that job like 2 years ago. I told her I'm not doing nursing no more. No one believes me. No.
Yeah. That is so funny.
Everyone's not going to get it, but it's so worth mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I feel like I always look at faith. It's like a muscle, right? It's like it's something that you work. Like I may be doing this for a long time and it takes, you know, like muscles in your arms. There's a process to that. You don't go in the gym one day and then you come out looking like the Rock. Like that happens over time. And the more you build it, then the more your muscles, the more your arms can withstand, right? The more weight you can put on the bar to lift. And so I think like faith is a muscle that you have to work continuously. And I agree with that. Like the Bible says, all you need is faith the size of a mustard seed, right? But you don't want to stay a mustard seed. You want that to be able to grow because yeah. I feel like obedience unlocks steps that are like our faith take us into. Yes. And so I think like the more I say yes to God, the more I discover who he is, which gives me the ability to say yes even more. And so there's like this consistent journey. It's like obedience, trust, and faith. They all kind of work together. They are part of the same thing and they help enhance each other. And so I agree with that. It doesn't happen overnight. It may start with something as simple as, hey, go tell that person that Jesus loves them. You know what I'm saying? And then 5 years from now, you could be somewhere preaching. But God is not only just asking you to do something because he doesn't think you can handle it. He wants to see if you could be faithful in the little instruction. Because then when I give you the bigger instruction, it's easier to build faith in the little things than when he asks you for that big thing, you're trying to muster up some faith to be able to take that step. Yeah. It's like, no. God didn't start off saying, hey, Abraham, go sacrifice your son. It didn't start there. It really started with, hey, go to a place and I'll show you when you get there. It started there. And then it started with, hey, I'm going to give you a son. And then I'm going to give you a generation that numbers the stars. Like he gave them all these things. And sometimes they laughed at him. They like, God, do you know who we are? Like, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, but there's this consistent like building, you know, of things that are happening that it makes Abraham go say, like, not necessarily like, dang, I see what he's done, but I know who he is. Because things, it's like God asks you to take a step and then you see what happens in that step. Not so you can say, oh, I got this out of it. It's so you can say, man, who is this God? And it should push you into knowing relation. Like, I want to know him. And then when I know him, the steps are the least of my worries. Because I understand that if I know this God, I recognize that when I take this step, he's going with me. Which is why Abraham can say, hey, we're going up this mountain, but we will be back. Because I know I'm not going alone. And I know either when we get up there, he's going to give me an instruction or there's something that he's going to do. It's so crazy. I was like, I saw this quote from AJ Johnson and she literally said, sacrifice is just waiting on the sufficiency of God.
Oh. Wait, say it again.
Sacrifice is just waiting on the sufficiency of God. And I was like, that, first of all, it's loaded because sufficiency is like enough, right? But then a step further, we serve a God who's beyond sufficient. Ephesians 3:20 says he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask, think, or imagine. So he's beyond enough. He's more than enough. Like he even fulfills and satisfies the things I didn't even know I needed. And I get an overflow of that. And so if I look at it from that perspective, that God is asking me to give up this thing for whatever he feels like, he, you know what I'm saying? Like there's an exchange. God doesn't ask you for something for the sake of asking. One, he's trying to test your heart. And the other thing is like, if he asks me to give up something, what he's about to walk me into, what he's about to give me is going to be beyond what he's asking me to give up. Because his word does say he takes us from glory to glory. You know what I'm saying? So if on this level, I'm giving you this, and that is the thing that the story says that. It literally, he says, hey, can you sacrifice your son? Not only did he not have him sacrifice his son, but when he came down from that, before he came down from that mountain, he received the blessing of the Lord.
Yeah.
Which talks about generations, which means he said, from this one son, I'm going to multiply it. But first, let me confirm your faith. Let me test your faith and see where it really lies. Does it lie in you making Isaac a son and then him having sons? Or does it rely on what I can do? And so what you have in your hand will always be less than what it will be in God's hands. And so if he's asking you to sacrifice it, like, you could just trust him with it. Because Abraham says that. He says, hey, we're going up here. God will provide.
Somehow, sacrifice. Some way.
Sacrifice is just waiting on the sufficiency of God.
That's going to be, I'm going to be sitting with that all day. That is so, so good. Because when you change your perspective about it, it makes so much less about you. And, you know, because I think that's the hard part with sacrifice. We start counting all the costs that it's going to affect us, not counting the benefits that we will receive and how God will show up. That is so good. Wow.
Yeah. And I think, like, here's what helps me in sacrifice now is, like, when I said yes to Jesus, I gave up my life. So if God is asking me to sacrifice something, it's on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have a consideration because my life belongs to him. And so if he's asking me to walk away from something, then that means what I was bringing to this space, I can no longer offer it because now I'm out of alignment. As long as I stay, because that's the thing about disobedience, because we can talk about Abraham's obedience, but we're not going to skip over the fact that we are disobedient sometimes. We're not going to skip over that because I need you to, it helps me make Abraham's decision when I understand what happens when I don't. And if you are in a place and God said, go from that place, he's always with you. But there's a grace that you had when you were in alignment with what he said. That grace lifts. And I have been in a space where God said, go, and I did not go, and nothing worked the way it was supposed to work. I might have had some successes. I might have been okay, but I was never satisfied. I was never fulfilled because God was not, he was not in it. He was in me, with me, but not in it.
Yes.
There's a grace. Yes. There's a grace that goes with a step of obedience. There's a covering. And when I make a decision apart from what God said, there is no covering in it. Now there is a grace that is sufficient that will make sure I have some steps to get out of this. But there is just life is better when he is in it. There are consequences when I choose to make a step that is not out. I remember in 2017, in 2016, God told me to move to LA, April of 2017. I did not move because I felt like where I was at, I'm like, they need me, God. You know that? And pride will have you making some dumb decisions because they did not need me. And if God is saying go, then he's going to fill that spot that I'm now going away from. So what you also don't recognize is that your disobedience also could hinder the elevation of another person. Because if you are occupying a space that belongs to someone else, nobody can transition. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all stuck in a space that we have no business. So your just like your obedience is also, there's fruit of it that affects the lives of others. So does your disobedience. It also affects that space because the grace that you carry, it no longer have an effect there. So you're now hindering the thing that you're in and you're hindering the person who's supposed to take the spot that you are occupying. You just backed it all up. It's just, you backed it up. So just move out the way. So I didn't. I stayed there for an entire year. Ooh. 12 months later, April 2018, I experienced the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life. And I'm not saying God was punishing me. I'm just saying I didn't have to go through that because a year ago he told me to move and I didn't. And so now, and I don't know if the move was about the protection of what I had to experience, or I don't know if the move was about, hey girl, I'm trying to get something to you. None of that matters. The fact is God said move, and I should have moved, because the reality is we make a step of disobedience because we are only in the moment that we are in. We serve a God who's in our yesterday, and in our tomorrow and present in our very now moment.
Amen. Amen.
But I only exist in this moment, and I have a little bit of what he will let me see in the future. So if God asks me to do something, what I should submit to is the fact that he understands and sees it all. And he got a better view and a better scope than I could ever have. So there's this trust thing that says, you got it. I don't want to do this. I don't like this. I don't even know what we're doing, but I do know who you are. And that is why relationship is so important. Because when I can't see it, when I don't know, when I don't understand, my relationship and understanding of who he is overrides all of that. It overrides my fears. It overrides my misunderstandings. It overrides my, hey, I don't even got the money for this. What are you talking about? But who he is overrides all of that because I know who he is. And I've never took a chance on God and came up short. Never.
Period. Period. Never. Ever. Never. He will never ever take something from you and it not be an upgrade at some point, somehow.
Never. And yeah. And I think that is the thing, right? We have to shift our perspective of what a win is and what success looks like, because maybe I make less money now, but who did I become in the step of obedience? Like, everything ain't about a monetary gift, because God ain't even after that. He actually don't really care about that, but he needs you to become the person that he designed and destined for you to be so you can accomplish what you're here for on earth. And it is not to live out your dreams and aspirations. I know that is what the world teaches you, but that's not why you're here. That's not why you're here. Matthew tells us to go ye into all the world and make disciples. How do you make a disciple? First, you got to be one. So therefore, our lives are about following God. Our lives are about his kingdom being established here on the earth through you and me. That happens through relationship. That happens through taking some of them steps of obedience. That happens with, like, all right, God, you can have this. I know you gave it to me. I know you said I could have it, but you can have it back. And then trust. And that's the thing. I've never given up something or walked away from something that he didn't bring back. And 10 times better than the stage it was in when I had to give it up.
Yes. Yes.
It's like beyond what I could have ever imagined. So, okay. So I moved to Marietta, June of 2021. I leave Los Angeles. I'm trying to be an award-winning producer. He says, move away from LA. I'm like, Lord, that don't make sense. Then he said, give me 6 months. Leave LA. So I left LA. I didn't take a job. I didn't do anything. I came to Marietta. I was here. June to December, the very thing that I considered in saying yes, like I said yes right away because I was praying. I knew a transition was coming. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I was like, okay, by April 1st, God's going to make it clear. I got the pastor from this church that I'm currently at randomly reaches out to me on LinkedIn. I never heard of a Marietta, California. I never heard of this church. I did not know the pastor. He's just randomly sending a blind message on LinkedIn. I don't even check my LinkedIn. I just happened to be on the computer that day. It popped up. I'm like, this is too random to not be God. So I say yes. I come here on Easter weekend. I come check it out. I'm like, it's nothing but white people. This don't make a bit of sense.
Wait, so was it an invite for you to just like come check out the church or?
The message on that I got on LinkedIn said, hey, we are expanding our senior leadership team and wanted to know if you or somebody else, you know, is like looking for their next. And I'm all like,
am I?
I'm all like, I called Stephanie like, so this pastor just reached out to me on LinkedIn. That's kind of weird. Like, so that happened April 1st. I think Easter was that weekend. I was like, hey, I'll come like check it out. He was like, you know, it's Easter weekend. I'm like, yeah, we already, because I was on staff at one and at one LA. And I'm like, we are not in physical church. Like, so we had already filmed Easter like 2 weeks before. So I'm like, no, I'm going to come to church. I drive almost 2 hours from where I live, drive to their Saturday night service. And I'm sitting in the service and I'm all like, nothing about this makes sense. I don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
And then but the moment I sat there, I was like, oh, I understand the assignment. And we think in that moment, when God says do something, We think the assignment is about what we need to go do in a place. And let me just tell you, it was all about what God needed to do in me.
Yes.
It was all about not what I needed to do, but who I needed to become. I moved here. I started in June of 2021. I preached my very first sermon in September of 2021. I came here to be like, I'm a communications and experiences director. I oversee worship, communications, and the weekend experience. And yeah. I just, and production. I'm just, you know, I'm doing what I normally do. And he's like, no, you're not. You're not doing what you normally do. That happened in September. In December, I get a call from the thing I walked away from. It was kind of like I had started like working in a space that I was like excited about. And I could see like the progression of like where it could lead. And my fear was like, dang, I'm leaving LA. I'm walking away from this. Like, I'm just kind of getting started. And I kind of had attitude about that. December of 2021, I get a call, like a voice note. And it's literally like, hey, we're working on this project. We want you to lead it, like as the showrunner. I said, this sounds like a God thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm only sharing that to say that was the thing I didn't want to walk away from. And when I walked away from it, I was not at that level. I was not, I was progressing. You know what I'm saying? I like, hey, I got to go do this because this is what God said. I shut it down. Like, I told the same room, like, hey, guys, I actually need to focus on being here. 6 months. I gave God 6 months. I just locked into where I was. Mm-hmm. I had an attitude most of the time, but I locked into where I'm like, why am I in the middle of nowhere? I'm like a city girl in the middle of nowhere. Like, it's so quiet. I ain't heard no sirens. I'm all like, does anybody else live in this apartment complex with 5,000 buildings? I ain't even hear no kids crying. It's like, what is going on? And so finally, like, and that's the thing, like, you have, like, cause we could give God a yes with our mouth and with our actions, but it's not until your heart, like in your heart, it changes everything. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I said, I moved in June, but it probably wasn't until August. So I was like, all right, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? Like, and really being here, like being present, not just like, okay, God want me to be here. What you want me to do? Cause you'll miss it.
Yes.
Cause it's, especially if it's about who you're supposed to become. If I'm still looking back, trying to also move, it's like trying to drive looking through your rearview mirror. Child, it ain't gonna work. Yeah. It's gonna slow it down, and you're probably never gonna make it to your destination because you're too busy looking back. And so I had to separate myself for a while and give God 6 months, and I seen him, everything I walked away from, I seen him bring it right back on a level that would have taken me years.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's kind of like, okay, I don't know what this is, but my sacrifice is gonna come from a place of God. I trust you to be God. And I ain't never came up short. And so whenever I walk into another thing and he's like, hey, give me that.
Yeah. All right. Okay. You may have to come out your hand like one bit at a time, but you'll give it to him, you know?
Yeah. And it's kind of like it goes hand in hand, though. It's kind of like, okay, I take this step and I do this. And then I'm a question asker. So I'm always like, not why, God, but like, why? Like, I want to know what this sacrifice is connected to. You know what I'm saying? Like we read the story of Abraham and Isaac, and we minimize it to like, we make sacrifices in our lives too. But this is also a foreshadowing of the fact that, hey, we all deserve to die. And God said, hey, I'm going to give you my son as a sacrifice. It's really a picture of like his love for us. Like, you could have been the one on the altar. You could have been the one that had to die. But I provided a ram in a bush, which is my son. Yes. So while this story is like, dang, Abraham really did all of this, I also can see the thread of who God is in it. It's like, dang, he even back with Abraham, way before we get to Jesus, he's already saying, hey, I know what Adam did a couple chapters before, but I've already started to put a plan in motion to restore you back to me. Come so while on. I'm looking at this story and being able to see myself in it, bigger than that picture. It's like a picture in picture, you know, like you see like the little picture. We're the little picture in the bottom that goes, we got to make some sacrifices in our lives. But the bigger picture is he's already foreshadowing his plan to restore us back to him, which means all of this is really about relationship with him. That's all he after. He gives you his hand. You experience a miracle. You experience a blessing. It's to push you back to him.
Yes.
He asks you to give up something, it's really because you need to make space for him. Like, all of it is about being in relationship with him. And so I feel like it helps make those other steps, because then I recognize, like, man, Jesus is really after me. If he asked me to walk away from this relationship, could it be because that relationship is now taking the place of my heart where he belongs? Yeah. Even that job, even that career, even that position, is it now overriding who he's supposed to be in my life? And if he's asking me to give it up, it's because I need to make room for him. And that is a consistent process. Like, and the other thing is, like, the posture of your heart. He wants to know where it is and where it lies. I remember, like, maybe like a month ago, a part of the same room, we got invited to the Merge Awards because Stephanie and Angelica, the host of the show that I produce, were being honored. And so we were like, oh, this is it. You know, like, red carpet, it's going to be great. Well, I had a theology class on the same day. And I decided that I was not going to the theology class because I no longer wanted to be consecrated as a pastor because I just didn't feel it, right? Mm-hmm. That's not even the office I walk in. I'm all like, I'm really, really an evangelist, Lord. I don't need to be a pastor. Like, I'm already doing what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could just be Brenda. He's like, I didn't feel like he said no, right? So, I mean, I'm making plans. You know, we got stylists.
I was about to say, like, the outfits. Yeah.
You know, we got it all planned out. Wednesday, I went to Elevation Night. And I'm like sitting in the room and I'm just sitting there. This has nothing to do with the Elevation Night. I'm just sitting there and I feel like God's like, you need to go take the class. I mean, I'm all like, nah, son, like, nah. And I literally asked God, because I know that there is a reason, right? Like, there's a reason I'm here. There's something that God wants to do, right? He has the overall plan. So the question I asked was like, okay, God, like, is becoming a pastor necessary to completing the assignment? He said, yes. Well, I don't get to go to the Merge Award. You know, I got to go sit in an 8-hour theology class to make sure that I fulfill my requirements to become a pastor. And But then I feel like God gets real. He's like, what's driving this? What's driving this? And I feel like, and for me, I've always had this battle of like the life I want to live and the life I feel like God's calling me to. And what I've learned in this past year is there is a me he called me to be that needs to be able to exist in either of those spaces without losing sight of why I'm there.
That's good.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, Bishop Jakes had a sermon. I don't even know what it's called. I just know this part stuck out to me. And it says, sometimes God will remove you from what you do so he can show you who you are. And I feel like this past year of my life has been just that. It has been him removing me out of what I've done and what I'm comfortable in so he could show me who I am, so that when he allows me to go back in that space, I understand the assignment.
That part. Yes.
That's what it's about. So yeah.
I love how you talked about everything that you said was so good. And it was so centered around knowing God. I feel like we always are asking the question, what do you want me to do? Me. And we think that's surrender. And it is to a point, like, Lord, what would you have of me? But sometimes he's not asking anything of you or for you to do anything. He just wants you. And I think our brain, I know that plays with my mind in a place where I guess naturally it comes for me like acts of service and like I'm doing things. And, you know, and we talked about this before we got on the call, but just how creatives, you know, struggle with the, this is what I do. And this is also
this is who I am.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even, I don't know if I would call myself a creative. I don't know, but even
we're all creative.
You know, we're all creative in our own way, right? So even when I was working as a nurse, I remember beating myself up because I wasn't performing exactly how I wanted to when I was learning new skills. And I remember my job was like, we dealt with a lot of trauma and stuff. And so we had counseling that we could go to for ourselves as we helped other people. And I remember the counselor, she said, you are thinking that who you are is a reflection of what you do. And vice versa. And I was like, I mean, you're not wrong. And I was like, yeah, isn't that what that, she's like, no. And like, she just like rewired my brain real quick. And I was like, oh, wow. So then a lot of us, we can relate to that. And then we bring that same thing.
Yeah.
We're like, well, I serve at church, so you must love me this much now. Or and he's like, I died for you before you ever became whatever you are right now. Before you
could do anything,
the worship leader, before you took a breath, I had already provided the full sacrifice for you. So this shows us it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with us. It's all about him. It's all about who he is. And just like Brenda said, these different moments in our lives, they will reveal to us who God is. If we allow him to. So many people, they have superficial relationships with God. He's trying to show them all this depth.
Yeah.
He's trying to show them who he is in so many levels. And they just know him as one thing because that's all they've allowed God to take them through. Y'all, if you get this in your head, if you allow him to bring you through some stuff, you will be in awe of who he is. You will continue to fall more and more and more in love with him because it won't just be about you anymore. You will want to move yourself out the way.
Yeah.
So that you can see him show up in your life. There's so much to God. Like, we will never, ever be able to fully understand.
Die trying to figure it out.
But you can spend your whole life getting to know him more and more. Like, I remember there was a pastor at my church and he's like 85. Right. He's not the senior pastor, but he was the former pastor there. And he will still say things like, the Lord revealed this to me. And people will be like, the Lord still revealing stuff to you? Like, don't you know it all? But he's like, no, like, this is a journey process. And so let that be an encouragement. This is not just about the next level of ministry or how many people you'll have at your events. Or that can go out the window if you don't know who God is.
Yeah.
He wants. That's the whole gospel. The literal whole gospel is for Jesus to be the mediator so that we could be brought back into relationship with God. Like, he wants us so much. And I don't think we fully understand that enough. And because of that, we will rationalize and reason our way out of these encounters with him. If you're not surrendered completely to God and you don't know him as you should, does that mean that you'll miss out on heaven? No, but does that mean you'll get to miss out on knowing more about God? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yo, by the end of your life, when you stand before God, I want you to say, like, when he's saying, well done, good and faithful servant, and he's not saying, depart from me, I never knew you, it's because you've spent time getting to know him. Like, he's so good. He is so good.
Yeah. No, it's so good. It's like, man, I'm like a rom-com girl. I love a good romance comedy. Yeah. I love that. But I feel like the life that we live is the best love story you will ever encounter, because it is. Even when God asks you to give up something, it is him pursuing you. Because, and maybe you got to give that thing up because you're starting to find your identity in it. And he's like, hey, I need to remind you that you are made in my image. Yeah. And so I need you to give this up so you can spend some time with me and I can show you who you are. So when I give it back to you, you'll have it the right way. You'll use it to serve me and you won't serve it. Because that is often what we do. We start serving the thing that God has entrusted to us. And he's like, ooh, let me get that back. Let me shift your perspective. Let me get your eyes back on me. And then I'm going to give it back. It's like the story of the rich young ruler gets me every time, because he misses. He thinks that God's trying to take something from him. Jesus is like, actually go sell all your stuff so I can give it back to you the right way. So that you can use it to serve my kingdom. And it's not what you're using to build your own. And so I think like that's what we have to recognize, is like, even when God is asking us to sacrifice something, it's because he loves us. John 3:16 gives us the blueprint. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. So if God is asking you to give up something, it is out of his love for us, and you giving it to him is out of your love for him.
Yeah.
It's an exchange. He ain't trying to hurt you. God don't need what you have. Like,
$24, bro.
He don't care about none of it. That dude, he ain't after that relationship. he's asking you to give up something, it is for your benefit. And I think if we can stop making him this scary man or scary figure that lives outside of time doing all these bad things to us, and recognize that he's really a father, or he's really a Lord, or he's really a savior, or he's really, and he is ever present. Like, he's with us, and he's so near and dear and close to our hearts that he can see way beyond the moment that we're in. And he's like, oh, this is actually going to trip you up. So give me that.
Yeah.
Like, it's for our benefit. He's not trying to hurt you. And he's really trying to highlight that you have now begin to love this thing more than you love him. And he's like, hey, this is going to really get you off into some stuff. So let me have this right now. You know what I'm saying? And I think, like, if I can see it that way, and I've learned to through knowing him, that he would never do anything to harm me. That yeah. Anything that he's doing is out of his love for me. And even though it might hurt me in this moment, it's really hurting my flesh. It's my flesh that's craving this. And so while this story is all about sacrifice, it's also mirrored with surrender. It's mirrored with living life open-handedly. And that is something I've learned over time. We talked about faith and being a muscle and being something that we grow in day to day. And I used to live life like this. And then over time, the more I start releasing, I don't even close my hand. Like, yeah. God says move here, I'm like, all right, this home, I'm not. I'm all like, tomorrow he may say pack up and move to Colorado. You know what I'm saying? Like, I live life so open-handed that we can consistently make an exchange. It's like, all right, God, you gave me this, I'm going to hold it. For as long as you called me to hold it, I'm going to steward it properly. And then when you say give it back, I'm going to give it back. And we got to learn to live life open-handedly. That the only thing I'm gripping and holding on to is who God is in my life. And that is what allows my hands to stay open like this. And we just go back and forth. I can have this. All right. I'm going to do what you want me to do with it. I'm going to give it back. You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing. I don't want anything more than I want him. And we go through this journey. We exchange it over and over, back and forth. And I think the relationship that Abraham has, he's like in the hall of faith. He is the father of faith, because he understood that even this promise does not outweigh the presence of God. That's this so promise good. Does not outweigh my relationship with God. This thing that I've desired all of my life that I finally got is not outweighing my relationship with God. God, if it comes between the thing that I've always dreamed of and you, it's you every time.
Every time.
And we got to get to that point where we, especially in the world we live in now, he got to be the only thing.
Because our culture is so, do what you want. Do what makes you happy. If what I'm doing is making me happy and I miss out on being obedient,
you're not going to be happy.
Gonna be happy.
It's a lie. It's a lie. I've never disobeyed God and enjoyed it for a long period of time.
Wait. Say that again. Say it again.
Never disobeyed God and enjoyed it for a long period of time. And I'm going to say for a long period of time, because in that moment, it'll satisfy your flesh. But who you really are cannot settle in a place that is apart from God.
That's it.
Because it's who you really are. So you wonder why you do that thing and you enjoy it for that moment. And then there's that moment where you're like, oh my God, I cannot believe I just did that. Because who you really are is speaking up. But you were suppressing that voice because you wanted to do what you wanted to do. But I've never done that and fully enjoyed it. Yeah,
I've never been disobedient and seen just a bunch of blessings come afterwards either.
No.
My life has fallen apart every time I was disobedient.
God told me to do something. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I did it. I didn't like how it felt making that decision apart from people. So then I decided not to do it anymore. And I almost lost my whole college career. In a moment.
Yeah.
But had I been obedient, I wouldn't have even had to experience that stress.
Yep.
Or trying to figure out how I was going to go back home and be like, I'm a senior and now I'm not. I never went to college for 4 years. It's crazy. There's a covering and a protection that is in a step of obedience. I promise you, you won't never catch me out here not listening to the Lord.
I may be mad. I may be sad. I may be crying. But
I may throw a tantrum.
A whole tantrum.
But I promise you I'm gonna do it. I've experienced life apart from following God, and I never want to experience that again.
zero out of 10 recommend. It gets zero stars on my Yelp review. Miss me with that.
I actually am reporting the page. Okay. It's not just zero out of 10. I'm reporting the page. Take this down.
Because this is not it, y'all. We think we can finesse our way around this thing. We can scam God. You are scamming yourself. When you're missing out. I remember in college, similar experience. God told me there was a dude that I was talking to. I would not say I was in relationship with him because I refuse to say that. I was talking to him. The Lord said, nope. He told me about 25 times. And I was like, nope. Next year of my life, hot mess. Top to bottom. Left to right. I still struggle with even remembering that year because my brain was like, we're just not going to even think about it. That was so bad.
Y'all, erase it.
It never happened. It's not worth it. And that's what I kind of want to wrap this thing up with saying is that it will never be worth it to be outside of God's will. I tell people this, there is nothing more dangerous and more expensive than being outside of God's will. Because you will, that covering comes off of you. You will waste your time, money, energy, sanity. All of that will go to something that God never asked you to, or if he has already told you blatantly, no. Be in obedience to God. Whatever that thing is, whatever it is worth it. And I hope that the moments that we shared here, different parts of our lives, will encourage you to realize, man, God really is the thing that I should want the most because he is. And it's not just something churchy to say. Like, this is literally real life. Like, he literally is the best thing that could ever happen to you that you could ever encounter. And like Brenda said, it's the most beautiful love story ever. And so let that be an encouragement. So last thing, Brenda, if someone listening to this and they're like, man, I know I've been kind of struggling with this and I just don't even know like where to begin. What would you say to someone who kind of knows where they should be in obedience, but they're just struggling with just like, I don't even know what to do now. I've messed things up. I've been in disobedience.
Yeah. That's a great question. The crazy thing is one of my favorite songs is like Gyra by Maverick City. And there's a line in the song that says, I wasn't holding you up, so I know I can't let you down. And that has been so freeing for me because I am one of those people who hate to disappoint. Like, I hate to feel like I missed it. I hate to mess up. Like, I like to get it right. And so I sometimes carry that into my relationship with God. But here's the thing. It says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So I say that to say there's absolutely nothing you have done, will do, or are doing right now that surprises God. He actually knew you were going to do exactly what you did. He knew it. And the crazy thing about it is he hasn't changed his mind about you. And so I say that for two reasons. One, don't allow shame and condemnation to keep you from following through on what God has called you to do. Like, the moment you repent, which is to say, Lord, I'm not only saying I'm sorry and I messed up, but I'm turning away from this decision and I'm turning back to the thing that you've called me to do. And so sometimes shame and condemnation will say, well, I messed up. I'm out here now. Might as well stay out here. And that's not God's heart. His heart is that you feel that thing in your chest to make you go, oop, something's off. And he wants you to turn away from, not keep going in the same direction because you feel like, well, I already did it. He's not that kind of God. And the moment you repent, he forgets. And so I need you to do the same thing. The moment you say, man, God, I slipped up. I missed it. I repent. I turn away from. Now we can go back to the thing that he said do, because God never left you. He's right at that last thing he said. And you, when you chose not to do it, you created the distance. And so I need you to know that too, because sometimes we feel like, man, God's not here. He's not with me. He is. He's right where you left him. He doesn't leave us. The Bible says he never leaves you nor forsake you. He's always with you. And what happens is when I make a decision to turn away from him, I create the distance. And it's not that he's left. It's that I drown out his voice with all the stuff I filled the space with. And so now repentance closes the gap and it gets me back into right standing where he's always been. And now I can say, okay, God, I'm struggling to obey you and I'm struggling to make this decision and I need you to help me. I need you to give. I always say, like, Lord, I need the courage to obey, because obedience means sometimes stepping off a staircase and you don't even know if it's other stairs there.
No, that's like, the best analogy.
I see this one step. If there's another step after this one, but obedience is like, hey, I know you're with me, And I know that I don't have to do it alone. And when we choose to take steps of disobedience, we are doing that alone. God is not in that. You know what I'm saying? And so, man, I just want to say, like, for anybody who's like, man, I missed it, it's okay. None of us get it right 100% of the time. That's why we need God. That's why he left us his Holy Spirit, so that when we get off, he can get us back on track. And when we need to go the other way, he's with us and he's giving us guidance and he's giving us direction and he's giving us comfort, you know, in making those decisions. And so don't sweat it. Like, hey, God, I'm sorry I missed it, and get right back on track. It's like the quick, it's the follow through. It's like, I used to play basketball, and it's like the thing that you do after you take the shot is really what matters. it's really not about the shot. It's about the moment after it. And so whether you miss it or make it, there's something that you need to do. And that's really what it's about. It's like following through with this. Like, man, I missed it. All right. Sorry, God. Let's turn away. Let's get right back on track. Don't allow the enemy to torment you with a bad decision that did not surprise God.
Yes.
It didn't surprise him. You can't let him down. He's not asking you to do anything but trust him and take the step. And it ain't on you. That's the amazing thing about obedience. It is not on you. If God gave you a word, he has to bring it to pass. All you got to do is take the step. It ain't on you. The pressure is not on you. And I think that is probably the most, you know, relieving thing. He's like, oh, I don't even got to do it. I just got to take the step. Like, the weight's on him and the pressure's on him. And I think, like, hold on to that. So the next time he asks you to do something, he asked you to do it, it's on him to bring it to pass, whatever the pass is, you know, like whatever it's supposed to be. And trust that. Like, and it's this building this relationship. And even after you miss it, and when you see God come through, let that build your faith. Like, dang, God, I missed this. And you still brought this right back to where it was supposed to be, because his purpose and his plan is going to prevail regardless, right? And so I think, like, yeah, like, take the weight off, take the pressure off. You don't have to be a perfect person. Some of us don't obey God because we feel like we aren't enough. And here's the thing. He makes up the deficit. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. So the moment I'm like, hey, I can't do this, he gets to flex. Like, what kind of God uses the worst things about me to flex on who he is? Like, that is the amazing thing. And so hold on to that. He's not asking you to be perfect. He ain't asking you to have it all together. He's just asking you to trust him, because that's really what obedience is about. And so I just want to encourage you with that. If you missed it, I've missed it a million and one times. And guess what? It didn't change one thing about it. You know what I'm saying? It didn't change. He didn't change one way he looks at me. He didn't change it. I didn't mess up my calling. I didn't mess up. You know what I'm saying? I went on some journeys I probably ain't have to go on, but they still made me become the person that he created me to be. And so that's what it is. Like, it's not, he didn't lose. It was a lesson. So let's apply that lesson and get back on the journey towards God.
I love that. And that was the perfect way to wrap this up. That's so encouraging. And I know that there's people out here that are listening or watching and will be absolutely blessed with knowing, man, there is another chance. There's another opportunity for me to be in obedience with him. And that's absolutely true. And so I encourage y'all, go and do whatever it is. Soon as you get done with this podcast, go ahead, repent, do what you got to do. And let's get back on track. No need to wait any longer. Whatever God has for you, he'll pick that thing up, and he says, come on, let's work on it some more. So Brenda, thanks so much for not just being on the podcast, but for sharing so much good stuff. I feel like I almost took off running, but I had to stay here because my interview, I was running around my office because.
Amen. Listen, I can't wait to run it back. I'm all like, damn, okay, some jewels.
Like, I'm going to take some notes for myself.
Take my own notes.
No, but I appreciate that so much. So I know that y'all are like, man, this woman of God, like, where is she at? What's she got going on? I need to pull up at some of her events. You got some stuff coming up. I want you to let the people know what you got coming up so that they can be a part.
Yes. Okay. So first, you guys can tap in with the podcast. My own podcast is called Life in Perspective. It's wherever you can find podcasts. If you got an Android, I'm praying for you. But it's even on Google. It's on Google. It's Life in Perspective with Brenda Palmer. And then we have an amazing podcast with my friends called In the Room. We get to talk about all things faith, all things, everything that everybody is going through. Like, we love it. It's called In the Room. It's on YouTube. You can watch it, and you can find it at any place like podcasts are available. And then I have a movement called Come Alive. And I started last year. I did my first conference ever called Come Alive Chicago. And so now once a month, I'm pulling up in Chicago. We're having worship, we're having word. And more importantly, like people are getting to connect and grow in their faith together. So I'm super excited about doing that. And we're going to do some pop-ups this summer. I cannot wait. We're pulling up in your city, maybe, you know, you got to let us know if you want us to pull up. So all you got to do is visit comealiveconf.com. All the information is there. If you just feel like, man, I just want to sow into this, or I want to partner with Come Alive, you can do that as well on the website. All my socials and my website is I Am Brenda Palmer. The website is iambrendapalmer.com. And then everywhere, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, is all I Am Brenda Palmer. Like, I love to connect with y'all. Like, hit me up, DM me. I'm always on there having fun. Like, I just really love Instagram. That's like my favorite place to be. YouTube is I Am Brenda Palmer as well. My sermons and stuff are up there. And like this year, I'll continue to like release content. But yeah, I'm super excited about like what God's doing, man. I'm just literally out here doing stuff. Like, the craziest thing. Just doing stuff. Like, God's like, hey, go do this. I'm like, you sure? Okay, cool. Let's try it. And it's blessing people. And I just ultimately want my life to be a testament of what being in genuine, intimate relationship with Jesus is all about. And so like, we Christians are not corny. And I have dedicated my life to prove that. Christians are not corny.
Brenda is fly out here
in these safe streets. I'm saved and I enjoy life. I travel. I have fun. I'm goofy. Like, following Jesus is not boring. It's the best life I ever lived. And that's all I want people to know. Like, you want to know Jesus too, because my life is so bomb. Why is it bomb? Because Jesus is in it. He is the center of it. And you can have the same life. Yeah, everybody is, it's available to everybody.
Yeah. No, I love that. So y'all make sure y'all connect with her on all the different platforms. Check out the podcast, check out the YouTube videos. And like she said, if you see that she is coming to a city near you, make sure y'all pull up, bring a friend. It is open and available. And you will, as the name of that title is, you will come alive. Things that maybe you thought were dead will come back to life. And you will see just the power of God show up in your life, so that you can go back out into whatever God has for you, and you can spread the fire. You can be the light wherever you are. So y'all, thank y'all so much for tuning into this week's episode. This was so good. Like I said, I'm gonna be rewatching this myself, like listening again. For those that are listening or watching, along with following all the things that Brenda mentioned, if you haven't already, you can follow Christian Girls Pop on Facebook and Instagram. You can check us out on our website, christiangirlspop.com, and you can check us out on YouTube at Christian Girls Pop. Also, if you have not gotten your copy, make sure you get your copy of my recent release, Scripture Made Simple. It's the ebook to go through the Bible in an entire year. And I've broken it down to where these big concepts about God, you can realize, man, this is a lot more simple than I thought. And we don't go through the Hebrew and the Greek, but by the end of it, if you put yourself you put the work in and you apply yourself, you will see, man, I have learned so much about the word and ultimately learned so much about God, which is what we centered most of this conversation about today. So make sure y'all check that out. I love doing these episodes with y'all. So stay tuned for next week. And as always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much. Don't you ever forget that.